Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. It is Friday, and we got some news, and a bit of a Friday news dump, one might say. Categorize it as the Packers have released kicker Brandon McManus. Thank you for your service, sir. Thank you for costing us a playoff game. Door prizes are there on your way out. Thank you for the AI-generated thank you post on social media. Do not return. That is what the Packers dealt with this afternoon, essentially handing the job to rookie Trey Smack, who they did draft there in the sixth round, right at the end of the sixth round after trading up, using a couple seventh-round picks to go get what will hopefully be the long-term answer at kicker for the Green Bay Packers. But certainly the McManus episode was disappointing as far as you thought he came in and stabilized a very unstable situation there in the Packers kicking operation. I still remember him hitting a walk-off kick in his very first game and jumping in the stands at Lambeau Field. And we thought, oh, here we go. Finally, we've solved it. And then last year happened. And we all know the trials and tribulations throughout both the regular season, but certainly the playoff game, two missed field goals, a mixed extra point, leading to a devastating playoff loss. Hard to survive that as a kicker. And I know there's been already a lot of hand-wringing about the fact that the Packers paid the roster bonus, $1 million bonus for McManus there early in the offseason at the, I think it was the third day of the new league year. And I definitely suspect that they wanted to keep McManus around to ensure that they weren't boxed in by need in the draft, as we always talk about. You know, the kicker is not exempt from that idea. Certainly, if they had gone into the draft and been unable to draft Smack and say someone jumped them and got in front of them and took him, well, their fallback plan, without question, was most likely Brandon McManus. The fact that I know Brian Gutekunst was at the podium the other day and talking about he expected to have a kicking competition in training camp. I suspect that was true. I also suspect that Brandon McManus probably approached the Packers and asked to be released. Now, we don't have anything official on that. That is just guesswork, but that would make sense as far as, look, I know this kid is the scales are weighted in his favor come training camp, and I would like to be on the street, possibly go compete for a job someplace else. I think the Packers most likely, again, it's just guesswork, acquiesced to that request. The Packers made it official this afternoon, sending out a press release saying they had released McManus, also indicating that it is a post June 1st release, meaning they will save somewhere north of $3 million on their salary cap this year. If they had not made it a June 1st release, they would have saved a little less than $1 million. So, not insignificant as far as the cap savings. But yes, Trey Smack, it is your job to lose, buddy. And I've already seen people say, oh, he's a kicker from Florida. How is he going to handle the cold? And certainly, it is a question mark, no doubt about it. But I did like Cam Acord's answer when, you know, asked about taking a kicker from a warm weather environment and can they be successful in the cold or in Lambeau Field in particular. And he highlighted two or three different kickers throughout the league who have been excellent as pros, who all came up down south in the SEC or programs that, you know, certainly never, ever play in the cold in the college game. So it can be done. Hopefully it will be done. The Packers certainly essentially handing the reins here to Trey Smack to be their kicker. Now we'll see how the kid responds. But I, for one, am excited to enter the Smack era. Is that, can we call it that? That sounds good. Well, let's go with that. A few other bits of news dropped today. Most importantly, for my sanity, the NFL and the NFL Referees Association came to a agreement. The union ratified the agreement. It is a 7-year deal so that there will be no stoppage with the refs. There will be no replacement refs. I know we'll celebrate it now. We'll be bitching about the refs week one, no question about it. But I'd much rather have the regular guys than the replacement dudes. That is without question. So that's good news. And then another piece of good news is that the NFL schedule finally has a date for its release. That's right. Next Thursday, Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, the NFL will be releasing its 2026 schedule. I will be going live here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. After, yes, I'll be doing my regular Packers Daily at 5 Eastern, but then I'll also be going live later that evening for a special schedule release stream. So we can all talk about it, talk about how the Packers are going to go 17-0 and, you know, home playoff games and all of that. So, but, you know, most importantly, we'll know what the schedule is at that point and we can all talk about it. So I can't wait for that. Hope you'll join me next Thursday night live right here on the Cheesehead TV YouTube channel. What's going on, everybody? Good to see everyone mixing it up in the comment section. Before I get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. At ThetaCare Orthopedic Walk-In Care, you have access to expert orthopedic care 7 days a week with no appointment needed. Whether it's a sprain, strain, fracture, or sports injury, their specialists assess and treat your pain quickly so you can return to what matters most. ThetaCare is a proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Okay, folks, what's going on? Well, what's on your mind? How we living? How we feeling? Neil Flynn, starting us off. Thank you for being a Gary the G Club member. While I didn't want McManus kicking for the Packers, we should have kept him on the roster and traded him to the Bears if they make the playoffs. I'm sure King Poles would have been all over that, picking up that phone, no doubt about it. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? TGIF Nags, can't wait to see Soder wearing that smack jersey this year, LOL. Go Pack Go, random Packer, Don Bracken. Ooh, what a pull. And yes, for those of you who are unaware, who weren't at happy hour the other night, Eeyore number one, Soder has said, if Trey Smack makes his first six kicks of the regular season, and I believe it's just six kicks, so they can be extra points or field goals. If he makes his first six kicks of the regular season, Soder will be buying a Trace Mac jersey. Bold words from Eeyore number one. I'm telling you right now. Jeff Jones, how are you, sir? Smack pack? I like it. That works for me. Perhaps a t-shirt is on the horizon. We shall see. Jerry, what's up? McManus got the boot. Get it? Say no more. Wink as good as a nudge. All right. McManus got the boot. Get it. E4, how you doing, man? Living in Bearland and not being able to talk smack for an entire summer sucks. Hear that, Matt LaFleur? It sucks. Yeah, the Bears suck, but damn. I mean, okay, but let's turn it around and remember, Matt LaFleur began, what, 11-0? Against the Bears, so he's offered you plenty of ammo. I mean, let's, remember the good as well as the bad. Certainly this offseason is tough as far as having to sit there and take it from Bears fans for once, but it ain't like, you know, Matt hasn't beaten up on the Bears most of his tenure, the vast majority of his time as the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, and I suspect he's going to get back to that in 2026. But yeah, this summer, this offseason, it's a little different. I don't like it. I'm not a fan of it. I would like to never come back to this moment again. Thank you. Portmaster, how are you doing, man? Your Vikings legend Brett Favre bit is a great one. I use it a lot. I do Jets legend Rodgers because I think it's way worse than Steelers. Oh, yeah. Well, because his time with the Jets was such a disaster, right? And I'm, you know, not making light of the injury, but even after he came back the second year, I mean, head coach got fired, GM got fired. The GM, who, by the way, you know, essentially made this trade happen, and meddlesome owner got involved. Like, the whole Jets experience transpired in, like, one half season while Rodgers was in New York. So, yeah, Jets legend Aaron Rodgers, who apparently might be coming back to the Steelers. Maybe not. GM apparently was on the radio this morning saying he has no idea. Aren't you happy you don't have to deal with any of that nonsense anymore? It's pretty good. It's pretty, pretty, pretty good. Max, how are you? Thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. We know Bullard is the primary nickelback. Who do you think gets the starting dimeback role? Perimeter cornerback three or more specialized? That is an excellent question. I do wonder, as far as, yes, Bullard being the main nickel, big nickel, whatever you want to call it, right? Slot guy predominantly. But I do think there are going to be instances where Cisse has a chance to be maybe not the primary slot, but in the mix as far as dime, maybe some nickel, because of it would, I think, depend on the offense that they're facing, right? We've seen there are certain teams who are able to get their, you know, really athletic, really slippery wide receivers in the slot and somewhat take advantage of Bullard at times, right? And I think Cisse could be a bit of a, you know, combatant for that. Now, kid's got to come in, show he can handle it. Obviously, that is all, you know, a given. But I wouldn't be surprised if he's in that mix. I think he's got a, you know, the clearest path to the dime back role. And that would, again, absolutely necessitate him coming in and showing that he can handle it. But don't forget, Jonathan Gannon played a boatload of dime last year. So there's a chance that that occurs in Green Bay. Though, as we talked about yesterday, I think I suspect they're going to be a more nickel just because of personnel. But yeah, I think Cisse is probably your best bet. Now, that said, I wouldn't be surprised if they went back to kicking Keyshawn Nixon inside at times. If St. Juste shows that he can hold down a perimeter opposite maybe Cisse, maybe Valentine. I know no one wants to hear that, but it's a possibility, right? There's juggling that can go on here. And I do think St. Juste has a really good shot, probably a better shot than most think, at supplanting Valentine and beating out Cisse for the starting corner spot opposite Keyshawn Nixon. But yeah, you start talking about, you know, dime package, getting that fourth corner on the field. Cisse is the most obvious, you know, candidate, I would suspect. Now, hey, maybe he comes in, wows everybody, and gets the starting job opposite Keyshawn, right? And maybe he kicks inside when St. Juste comes in certain packages because they like his size against a certain perimeter receiver, etc. Like, there's so many different kind of avenues you can go down, but that would be my guess for how that battle will commence, so to speak, when training camp starts. It's an excellent question. There's a long way to go, though, before we're able to answer it. Andrew Ware, how are you, buddy? Rolling with a rookie. I like it, but I know my blood pressure is going to be sky high in the playoffs, regardless of how good he does in season. That is more than fair. I mean, let's get through week one and not have Corey Banky melting down on the stream because of a missed kick. That's the bar I'm at, right? That's certainly what we saw occur when I was down in Brazil. Hopefully this week, this year, whatever, wherever they are, whether on the road, at Lambeau, what have you, week one, just get through week one. Give the kids a fighting chance. How about that? You know, confidence-wise. Joe, thanks so much for the super chat and for the support, man. Hoping Wyatt, Hargrave, McClellan give Packers more of an inside pass rush than we had last year makes the outside pass rush so much more effective. I mean, it's always a symbiotic relationship, but I will say, you know, the thing that it does for you as a defense, it's certainly, yes, no question about it, you can play games, you can complement your edge rushers, but it just plays havoc with the quarterback not being able to step up. I mean, there were way, way too many instances last year where, to your point, edges are kind of collapsing the pocket, but the quarterback is very easily able to step up and then maneuver into rush lanes and get outside the pocket and either make something happen downfield or just pick up a first down with his legs, etc. Certainly, that is a goal. You want that quarterback, you want him to feel the constriction of the pocket, have to get rid of the football, affect the quarterback with that interior rush. Certainly need much more of it. No doubt about it. Soder, how are you, brother? Just giving Smack the job should give him a full dose of the special teams curse. Just burn a 55-gallon drum of sage in the locker room already. There's the Eeyore number one I know and love. Hey, man. You know, I just made the joke on Twitter. All I can hear in my head is that scene in Reservoir Dogs where Michael Madsen is like, either the cops got him or they don't, or they're alive or they're dead. All I hear is Mike Madsen saying either he'll make his kicks or he won't. That's it. Worrying about it ain't going to help. So we just got to hang out and wait and see. That's where I'm at. Abdul, how are you, sir? Hey, Aaron, what happened to 17? He was so good to start out. Also feel like it was a bit premature. Why not let them compete? As I said at the top, I suspect he probably asked for his release. Again, we don't have any reporting on that, but that's my guess. Because, you know, that's literally what Brian talked about at the draft presser. But, you know, he certainly, like he's indicated, he started out well. Last year was a bit of a disaster. And the idea being, okay, yes, he's hurt, but he's going to work through it. And he was pretty, you know, remember the quote. Don't ever forget that week where he had the quote where he's like, I'm definitely playing. And that was news to Matt LaFleur. I suspect there was a bit of tension there. The push and the pull about having a guy who, you know, supposedly knows his body so well and then goes out there and misses kicks. You know, I just think at some point it's probably a good idea to get a fresh start. And the fact that they paid the bonus and kept him around through the draft, making sure they got the guy they wanted, would indicate to me that they were okay going into 2026 if with him as the kicker, if they missed out on Smack in the draft. But once they got their guy, you know, they're happy moving on. And again, either the kid makes the kicks or he doesn't. And if he doesn't, we continue to look for a kicker. You know, it's not any kind of sure thing that McManus was going to come back and just pick up where he left off when he was hitting kicks last summer, which he did. I think he missed two all training camp last year. But nothing could, you know, possibly portend that, oh, maybe he's going to come in and miss a bunch of kicks. It's fine. Let the kid take the job. Give him all the confidence in the world. Let's see him make his kicks. That's where I'm at. Mike Witt, how are you, buddy? Now that we got rid of McManus, we can officially bring back Devontae since 17 is available again. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, crazier shit has in the NFL. Neil Flynn, what's up, man? I bet Corey will be rocking a Trey Smack jersey this year. I highly doubt that, but I'm sure Corey is feeling somewhat vindicated today, would be my guess. Jeff Jones, thanks again, man. The Lombardi sweep was the cornerstone play of that offense. What's the cornerstone of our offense? Do we have one? Do we need one? That's an excellent question. I think they love, and I mean love, the, I'm not going to say deep out, but they love a 15-yard out. Let's call it an intermediary out. And the fact that Jordan can hit it from any hash anywhere on the field is another, you know, one of the reasons they really lean into it. Think about last year alone, both the fourth down in Arizona to Tucker Kraft and then the fourth and seven to Matthew Golden in the playoff game against the Bears, where like the season's over if they miss this play. And what do they run? An out route, you know, the out route to Tucker. Like that, they love that play. And I think it's because Jordan's so good at it. So, you know, I obviously wouldn't put it at the level of the Lombardi sweep, but that is a major staple. I mean, they/Jordan love that play. No doubt about it. Braden, what's up, man? Would love for Mason Crosby to mentor Trey Smack. Bounce up and down between Milwaukee and Green Bay, do the radio gig, and then, you know, head on up to Lambeau. Crazier stuff has happened. I would be very surprised if that occurred, but hey, man, all they can do is ask, right? Mike, thanks again, man. I know you have said over and over that he's cheap labor. However, I still think if 25 comes out of the gate struggling that he might get benched for the rookie or St. Juiced. Oh, no doubt. Yeah, I don't think he's bulletproof. I don't doubt for a moment that he still has to compete. I just understand keeping him around, especially because he is a starting corner in the NFL who has a ton of experience. You know him in the building. You know what he's about. You certainly want a better, more consistent performance this year. But to your point, if he struggles, I would not be surprised if your starters even are, say, St. Juiced and Cisse. You know, like that feels unlikely, but never say never. Michael, what's up, man? How are you feeling about the interior defensive line at this moment in time? And thank you for you and Cheesehead TV for creating a great online community. Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate that. Honestly, I really would have liked them to sign one more big body in the middle, and maybe they still do. But, you know, now that both Calais Campbell and DJ Reader are off the street, it's getting thin, to use a phrase. I don't know, man. Maybe someone shakes loose. Maybe there's someone they know or they have their eye on who's going to be a camp, like, cap casualty at some point this offseason. You know, you can't just wait for a Howard Green to fall under your lap, but maybe it happens. You know, that is, I do think they could benefit from having one more kind of, you know, serious nose tackle type. Now, who knows? Maybe they are banking or know or feel really confident about Nazir Stackhouse taking a step in his career and showing a lot more than he did his rookie season. But that feels like more of a hope than a plan. But we'll see. I think they've improved there. I do think with the addition of Hargrave and the draft, I think they're probably better off than they were last season, which is good. It's a step forward. But I'd feel a whole hell of a lot better if they had one more space eater or a space eater there in the middle of the defense. But again, we got a ways to go until training camp and ways to go for the start of the season. So we shall see. Joe, thanks again, man. In 2025, St. Juste had best year statistically while playing just 37% of the snaps. Is he better in sub packages than he is starting in base? I suspect that's one of the answers we are going to find out about in camp. Now, it's also going to be interesting to see where he plays. I think his size, his kind of athletic profile, he projects to be a classic perimeter corner, right? And maybe he gets that opportunity. But maybe, to your point, they feel he is a sub guy, and maybe they utilize him on the perimeter in dime packages, right? That's entirely possible. I think one of the other components here is he plays special teams. That's his superpower almost, right? As far as making sure he has a job, making sure he makes the roster. I suspect that will keep him no matter what happens from scrimmage and training camp. But yeah, no, there's no guarantee. Certainly. Last year was his best year in the NFL, but to your point, he played with a little less than 40% of the snaps. We'll see how it transpires. It's going to take, I would suspect, a really strong camp for him to make a serious push for a starting job, but I think he'll definitely be in the rotation somehow. We will see. Jerry, how are you, man? I think Damani Jackson is a real sleeper this year. I think he's got an uphill battle. Let's put it that way. I think with every young player, it's about special teams. Can he find a niche on teams? Can he find a way to get onto two or three, a handful of different special teams units? Because that's his ticket to the roster. I'm going to be very surprised if he's competing, especially with the ones, for playing time on defense. That's just first blush. We'll see. We'll see what happens when, pads come on. Soder, thank you so much, man. Just get average cornerback play and be decent in the red zone, and the kicker won't matter. Any or can dream. I mean, yeah, let's stop relying on field goals, right? Let's score points in the red zone. Let's score touchdowns in the red zone and not have to worry about asking the kicker to make field goals. I am all in on this plan. All right, folks, I got to get going. I cannot thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like on the video, subscribe to the channel, and then tell your friends and tell your family, Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.